Let's turn in God's Word now to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, we'll be reading the whole chapter, verses 1 through 43. Luke 18, and beginning in verse 1, these are the words of our God. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And he spake this parable unto a certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And they brought unto him also infants, that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them unto him, and said, suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, all these have I kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they that heard it said, who then can be saved? And he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Then Peter said, lo, we have left all and followed thee. And he said unto them, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come life everlasting. And he took unto him the 12 and said unto them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished, for he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked and spitefully entreated and spitted on. And they shall scourge him and put him to death. And the third day he shall rise again. and they understood none of these things. And this saying was hid from them, neither knew they the things which were spoken. And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him, that he should not hold his peace. But he cried out, cried so much the more, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. Those are God's words. Again, here in Luke's Gospel, Jesus is teaching kingdom lessons of faith and life for all who hear. The chapter begins through verse 8 with the parable of the importunate widow, or persistent pleading widow, which reminds us to be unceasing and persistent in prayer. For the promise is that the Lord will hear and answer. To be unceasing and persistent in prayer. What kind of prayer? Prayer for what? Prayer for all sorts of things. Little things. Major things. But prayer. And if the unjust judge will do it, how much more the gracious God of heaven, who loves His people and who loves when His people cry out to Him. And verse 8, what really shows one's faith? One who is persistent in prayer. Through verse 14, the parable of the Pharisee and publican or tax collector, which teaches us about humility in prayer. Remember who we come before when we come to the throne of grace, the living and true God. Remember who we come before. It's not before an earthly father. It's not before some person on the street. It's before the God of heaven and earth. Through verse 17, Jesus' love for the children to come unto Him, and parents who, as we heard previously, you are called to carry your children, bring your children to Jesus every day in family worship, and especially in public worship of the Lord. Then through verse 30, the trial of the rich man concerning his true love of eternal life in following Christ or his own riches. And he falls short, choosing his own riches instead of Christ. And Jesus from this instructs the disciples with the summary of who can be saved. The things which are impossible with men are possible with God. And yet instructed we are that though we give up a great many things, even the vanities of the world for the kingdom and living for Christ, yet He will bless us in the life to come. And even He says here, bless us in this life. Do you believe Him? Or will you continue in your vanities instead of turning to Christ? And then through verse 34, He foretells of His death and sufferings by which He would save His people from their sins, even us who believe on Him. And to the end of the chapter, then Jesus restores the sight of the blind man, again showing He is the Christ, He's the Messiah, sent from God to deliver His people from their sins. And what is needed to be saved, we learn here as well. Is it what you need to do? Verse 41. Is it what you need to do? No. Only believe, which is a gift and work of God in you. He shows here, only believe that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Let's pray. Our Father, we're thankful for Your Word. We're thankful that You teach us Your ways. We're thankful that You through your word and by your spirit, turn us from the ways of the world, to turn us unto you, to behold your face, pure light, magnificent, wondrous light. Carry us, take us, and turn us from the darkness. We continue, even now, as we'll hear in the sermon in a few moments, we continue to try to go back to the darkness. We continue in our sins. And yet you are the light. And every time we sin, it is like we are crucifying Jesus Christ again. We're thankful for His death on the cross for us. We're thankful that He died once for all sins, to satisfy your perfect and inexhaustible justice. We dying for our own sin would mean that we'd have to die for eternity, even for just one sin. But the God-man, Jesus Christ, your Son, you sent out of your love, because of your mercy towards us, your elect, and dying there once for all sins, able to take all of our guilt upon Him, and granting us and imputing upon us and unto us His righteousness, that even through His resurrection, securing that righteousness, securing our justification. We give you praise for the gospel and the gospel of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we're thankful. We're thankful for the way that you worked this past week amongst the elders of this denomination. That we, it seems like, did not turn to the left or to the right, but we turned more unto you. We praise you for this. We praise you that though there is great division in some parts of our denomination, you have brought about unity in the truth. And pray that you would continue that work of growing us in unity and reforming us as a denomination, as a church. Pray the same for this congregation. You grant us your truth. If you would permit, we will follow by your Spirit. And so, Father, by your Spirit, cause us to follow. Give us your word. Give us your truth. That we might be united together. And Father, we do praise you that you're the God who heals. You're the God who upholds. At each one here, you've upheld and keep upholding. And Father, we give you praise for this. You're the God who does this. No other God does that. All other gods don't care about their people. We're thankful for your grace and your mercy to us. That you are our fortress, our strong tower that will not fall. We're thankful that you are our shield and our strength. We pray that you will help us in our common effort this Saturday in evangelism, going door to door. Pray that you would bless us, bless those who hear, that be your will, that you would send your Spirit ahead of us to do your great work. Father, many sinners, vain people, worldly people, who we will come in contact with, keep us from harm, uphold us by your word and spirit. Pray that you would give us as a congregation more opportunities to testify the good news of Jesus Christ. to our neighbors. Father, we also plead that you would be with our children, watch over them and care for them, turn them to yourself, even those in the womb. Even now, change their heart from stone to flesh. As you have done before, so you may do again. For all those things which are impossible for men, it is possible with you. And so save your elect. We do pray that you would be with the children as they grow in the womb. Pray for the baby and for Michelle and Oscar and Jake and Marissa. Grant good health to them. And bless this congregation. Continue growing us. We're thankful that you have, as we look back in the past few years, that you have grown us in a great number. Not that we boast in ourselves. There's nothing to boast about. You are the builder of the house and of the Church of Jesus Christ throughout the world. And so we praise your name. We're thankful that together we can hear the gospel every Lord's Day. We're thankful that we are enabled to sing your praises, that you give us mouths, lips, tongues to do so, and ears to hear your word. Father, keep blessing your people. Father, we do also plead for our nation. We plead for the church. There are many who have turned in the church from your word. Father, we plead for them that they would turn back, they would hear truly your word, and not some fake rendition of it, or some summary of it, but they would hear your word, and turn unto you, and turn from their wickedness. Leaders in the church would turn to you, away from the entertainment and the other ways that are not according to your commandments, that we'd worship you according to you alone, your word alone. And so we pray for our nation as well, that you would turn them from their wickedness and sin, the many sins that the measure of the sins are raising up to fullness, and judgment is coming. And Father, we pray that you will turn the hearts of the peoples, just as you have turned our wicked hearts to you, making them and clothing them with righteousness. You surely can do it with them, for you did it with us. And so, Father, we plead for your mercy even upon them, the peoples of this nation, and so also the rulers of this nation and all their offices. We pray that you would cause them to love you and turn their hearts unto you and cause them to covenant with Christ your Son, that our nation would honor you and honor you alone. Not the false gods, and not allowing the false gods to be worshipped, but that we would worship you alone, and that they would rule according to your word, the principles there found therein. And so, Father, we pray that you would do all these things for the peace of the Church of Jesus Christ, but also for the spread of the gospel. We look forward to that time when all nations will come and will bow before Christ your Son. That rulers will bow too, lest they perish in the way. Father, you promised to bring this about, so we put our trust in you. Bring it about. You are the faithful God to all of your promises, so bring it about. Do not lie for the first time. Do not break your promise, but be faithful. And our hope is in you, because we know you will not lie. You are not deceiving us. Your promises are true, and yes and amen, always. And so bring it about, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.